Yeah, so the book I wrote, read, hang on one second, could you please? Okay, sorry, we just had some noise in the background. I wanted to stop. The book I read the other day, about a week and a half, 2 weeks ago, was How to Build Network Marketing Leaders by Al Schreider, Big Al Schreider. And some of you know who Big Al is. He's a network marketer that's been in the industry 40, 50 years. I mean, the guy's like 80 years old. He's incredible. In fact, he was the person that got Jet first involved in network marketing. Jet was working with Big Al, and that's where Jet, who is used to be our number one top associate in Manitech for years and years, multimillionaire, Jet became a millionaire at the ripe age of like 21, 22, working with Big Al. So that was Jet's first experience in networking. But anyway, so Big Al's been around for a lot of years. He's been effective in network marketing. He's a highly respected speaker. In fact, he was at this Professional Network Marketing Association meeting that I just was at. I got to say hi to him again. And what a joy to be around him. He's just full of, you know, vim and vigor. But he wrote this book, and I like some of his stuff, so I picked it up and I read it, and I was so thrilled because it gave me some insight into my business that I didn't have in the past. And I just immediately upon reading it, I was like so, to me it was screaming at me saying, the field needs to know this information. They need to get this. And so it was just high on my list to get it taught to you guys as soon as possible. And so that's what I'm doing today. I was going to try to get it done last Monday, but that didn't happen because of my mother-in-law's situation, my own personal issues. So I'm glad to be back here today to give you the insight directly out of this book. So, and it's a short book. It's a short read, so it's not a hard thing to do, but it has such phenomenal content for us in terms of helping us be best we can be in doing our network marketing. And being the, wait, let's clarify this, in being the professional network marketer that we all are, this is just an awesome book to read and to understand. And he talks about, so it's a leadership book, but it's, of course, not the ultimate leadership book, and Al makes it real clear. He goes, this is just like step one in leadership. And he talks about, you know, people that coming on, he says, I'm just lazy, give me the secret. In implementing the secret will require that we learn new skills, but the secret to network marketing, here's the secret. And it's a huge secret because I don't even think I recognize this secret. In as successful as I've been in this business, I don't think I even recognize this secret. And what is the secret? The secret is to be successful in network marketing is to build leaders and help them and help make them successful, help build them to be successful. So, because I don't make anyone do anything, but I help build them to help them be successful. So the important thing here is the idea is that we're looking for leaders. And some of us, when we go out and we sign people up, we give classifications and we say, you know, we either sign people up as customers or distributors, right? And we make that distinguish. We have members and then we have associates. We have customers, we have distributors. Well, I'm going to suggest there's a dramatic distinction here that I was never building on, but I needed to, and I think all of us, you know, a lot of you are smarter than I am, so I give you credit, but the idea is that I would treat every distributor the same, almost the same way. I would treat them all as, okay, here's my newest leader, let's work with them and develop them and grow them and work with and get doing. So I was working with massive numbers of distributors. Well, the problem with that is the leaders are the ones, how you measure your success in network marketing. So look to find your leaders, and leaders just don't show up, you know, and we're going to talk about how to find leaders, but the important thing is that you can spend all your time with distributors and grind and grind and grind and not necessarily get anywhere when you really want to be building leaders. And what distributors want, a different classification, distributors want to save money on purchases, a chance to make retail profits of, you know, off of our member accounts, a feeling of belonging to a group of positive people, a chance to develop personally, make some checks to help pay off some bills, put a student through college or whatever. There's your distributor definition. And a lot of us probably can look at our organizations and say, wow, I've got two distributors, or I've got 10 distributors, or I've got 6 distributors, whatever we have, right? And the truth of it is that what Al puts in there, he says, these people should take up 10 to 20% of your time in your business. When in reality, for most of us, they're taking up 90% of our time in our business, right? Because we are so excited about having a distributor, we want to work with them and help them get to a higher level and da-da-da-da-da. And you know, and these are the kind of people that also will talk to you and say, well, I can't go that week because I got this or I've got that. Or and some of I remember there was a presidential in Manatech. This is how funny this is, too, that we were talking about, okay, well, so let's read this book. We're gonna, and she goes, I don't read. And, you know, when somebody tells you they don't read, that should be a gigantic aha to you. Because when somebody doesn't read, they say, I don't grow. If you don't read, you don't grow. Right? So think all these signals that we get from people that scream at us to tell us, well, okay, so what do you call that person in the organization? We would still call them a leader. We call them because they might be a regional or national director, and we'd call them one of our leaders. Are they really a leader, or are they a distributor? And I think the distinction needs to be drawn for us because we don't want to be confused about what we're working with and who we have and who we are in terms of what we're doing in Manatech as well. Because the reality is, as Al Schrider said, he says, you know, distributors come and go, so you can't depend on them for your business. They leave a company when policy changes, procedures change, personnel changes, mistakes are made. They're in a different classification. Whereas leaders are loyal to you and the company through it all. They have the stick-to-itiveness, the stay with it, the drive, the determination through it all. So the real duplication becomes once you choose to grow your potential leaders, do you want to teach duplication? In other words, do I want to duplicate myself with the people that I choose as my potential leaders? And Big Al said, he'd look around his people and he'd find his distributors coming on and say, oh, this is going to be my new potential leader, so I'm going to go live with them for 4 months, and so they know everything I know. So he would go do that, and he said, you know, he said it was a disaster. He said I'd come back home and they would be on fire, and 3 months later they'd die off, or 5 months later. And he says, why wasn't it working? Well, because he didn't have a leader. He had a distributor. He didn't know. He was just out there blind. It was blind leading the blind. So he says, here's a question, an intelligence test for everybody to take. Do you want to work really hard at doing your Manatech business for 3 to 5 years, sponsoring a lot of distributors? So I got all these people that are going and signing up one person every 3 months or 5 months or whatever. They have a few meetings. They don't go to the conventions, or they don't read books, or they don't get on my accountability series, or because you know what, that's inconvenience them. All this kind of stuff that you get, this back talk stuff we get from people in the field about what they're willing to do or not willing to do based on XYZ. But you work really hard with these people. You give them, and I look at Manatech and I see a lot of people that work really hard. They have plenty of meetings, solve problems, social problems, change companies. But at the end of it all, what do they have? They still remain stuck, and they're going, why is this not working for me? I'm working with all my distributors, right? That's one scenario. So your intelligence test, you can say, well, do I want to do that, or what's my second option? You develop one or two or three leaders over 3 years, and you become rich, retired, secure, and very, very happy. So who are we really looking for? Right? And who are we really developing? Are we developing distributors, or are we developing leaders? Huge distinction between the two. And we're going to talk about that distinction. So here's the quote of his book. He goes, it's the steady, slow, focused network marketing leaders who build one leader at a time, who really maximize the benefits of a networking career, building one leader at a time. And that doesn't mean you abandon your distributors. Everybody, don't get me wrong. It just means when you find the leader or leader potential, that's the person you dedicate your energy to. But what do you have to be doing for yourself as well is developing yourself as a leader. You got to make the commitments of what is it going to take me to be the leader I need to be to really go after this. So there's a sincerity test that he says he gives his people. There are a few tests. First of all, you got the intelligence test. Now you're going to get the sincerity test, right? And then there's other definitional tests that you're going to have as well that'll help you in this determination process. Sincerity test is, again, you can't afford to spend 6 months or 1 year with a pseudo leader. So what, one of the things, to give you an example, just a starting point, not anywhere near sufficient to make that determination, but I do coaching calls with anyone in my downline who wants to be coached, anyone. They can be 500 levels beneath me, and I'll do a they can set up weekly coaching calls with Mary Jo. Now, people who really want to run with their business and take this to be, you know, the answer in their life, why wouldn't they jump on that? Absolutely. Do you guys get this? They would absolutely jump on that, wouldn't they? Like a rocket shot. Some of you on the call or aren't in my downline go, are you kidding me? You would do that with anyone in your entire downline. I go, absolutely. But why is it that I'm only coaching about 12 people right now? Why is that? When I have thousands and thousands of people. Because it's the first distinction on whether somebody wants to really do this business and be effective and grow and become that leader, or they just want to do it their way and kind of just do whatever it takes and share with a few people here and there. And well, so they're distributors, right? So it's a first test in some of that. But he gives us other tests. He says, try a sincerity test on people. When you sign up a brand new person who wants to be a quote, he comes in as a distributor, quote unquote, potential leader, you think maybe, give them a sincerity test and just ask them a question. So how do you feel? Sorry, the words, there's a typo there. It says, how do you feel? How do they feel? How do you feel about this business? If they say, well, I'll try, that this is the weakest form of commitment they can give. Because if you've done any Clemmer work, you know the word try doesn't even occur in your vocabulary. I try to release it from everybody's vocabulary I work with because the word try is just an excuse not to do something. You either commit to doing it or you don't. Be a committed person. Don't be a trying person. Be a committed person. Be all in. Make the commitment. And if you don't want to go and do something and you just tell somebody, oh, I'll try to get there when you're lying, what is that? Now you're totally out of integrity with yourself. You're just trying to make the other person feel good. And then when you don't show up after you tell them you're going to try, they're not going to like you anymore. In fact, they're going to like you less because you said you'd try. Just be honest with somebody. You know, we use that word so deceptively. It's awful. It's an awful word in our vocabulary, so delete it. But it also suggests to me that the person really is not committed at all because they're not making any commitment. Try is not a commitment. Okay, it's air. Okay, the second thing they can say, so what do you feel about this business? And they say, I'll do the best I can. That's pretty good. I'll do the best I can. Well, that's, you know, it's better than I'll try, but it still is hanging out there saying, well, I'm going to do only as much as I can possibly do, and I have limitations on what I can do, so in my brain and all the psychological shortcomings I have, and so you're only going to get what my potential capacity is where I am today. Well, that's kind of sad too, isn't it? But of course, they may not know what's holding them back. They don't have any idea. They've failed at everything they've done in their life, and they don't get why, and so there's going to be some personal development that you're going to do to help them boost through that or get them reading some good books that will help them see it differently. It's better, and many of the best distributors make that kind of commitment. They become great distributors. But is that kind of commitment enough to risk 6 months of your daily mentoring that you're going to do? Are you going to pour into daily mentoring with this person when that's the biggest commitment they can make to you? And here's your ultimate that you're really looking for in people. If they say, "What? How do you feel about this business?" and they respond, "I'll do whatever it takes." People, when somebody says that to you, strap on the boots. Get ready. Now, could they be just saying that? Yeah. They could be just saying that. They could be that they want it so badly they say that. But, you know, this is just out of their – these are words out of their mouth. And what do we learn in networking? Do we trust what people say or what their actions are? Their actions, right? Because people can say anything. We know that's our world today, that people say almost anything. They'll say that what makes you – it pleases you. So you got to be careful even at this level. But this person shows incredible potential leader. Because a potential leader is going to make that kind of commitment. They're going to look at this and they're going to have evaluated it. That's why you don't want somebody to sign up in 5 seconds because they haven't made any real evaluation of it. But somebody who takes a week or two to make a decision to come in and then they finally commit and they go, okay, we're all in. We're committed. We're going to do whatever it takes to make this work because we need it. Here's our why. Boom. Glaring, you know, whatever it is, and they're all in. So that's what you're looking for. It's my personal effort and effectiveness that will make me rich. I'm staying with my mentor until I succeed. That kind of languaging. It's my personal effort that's going to make me succeed. Then notice their languaging, even. It's about them. My personal effort is going to make a difference to whether I succeed. When people can take that personal responsibility, wow, what a difference it is. Instead of, well, the products are too expensive. Well, da-da-da-da-da-da. Well, network marketing. No one likes, oh, Manitech's got a bad reputation. Oh, blah, 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 blah. And they come up with all this stuff, and I go, wow, are you kidding me? When you can look out there and look at the people making millions of dollars in network marketing and you can whine like that about, you know, I mean, it's like, it's crazy. But when they say it is up to me, it is my personal effort and effectiveness that will make me rich. And that's really when I got involved in Manitech, that's exactly what I said. I would, you know, the Lord led me to it, and I said, you know what? He led me to it. It's up to me. It's up to me. I'm either going to make it or I'm going to make it. But I had, you know, I didn't know anything about network marketing, but I knew that this was something I could do. Especially when I went to Manifest, my first Manifest, and saw somebody from, you know, a small town in either Arkansas or Oklahoma or something get up on stage and hardly could speak proper English, broken sentences. You know, well, I don't know what got us here, but my wife came home one day and this is what she said, and I just decided maybe we ought to do this stuff. I just kind of followed her around and just did some stuff and talked to a few people here and there, and, you know, now I'm presidential. And I was like, if he can do it, I can do it. So help building my belief. There are things that happen on that walk that help build my belief in it as well. But it's the belief. It's the concept that we understand it's our personal efforts that make it happen. When we focus on leaders, it changes how we do our business. To be successful in network marketing, all you have to do is build leaders and make them successful. That was a over and over and over and over and over. He used this language. To be successful in network marketing, all you have to do is build leaders. Notice the word build. They are critical, right? Because we're going to talk about finding leaders in a minute. Most of us, what we do to build leaders, instead of building leaders, we keep busy. We allow quote-unquote important activities that take up our day instead of building leaders. So how can we find hours in our day where we can refocus our energies to help build leaders, right? One of my people in my organization right now is getting a group together to go through John Maxwell's Gold Leadership book. I mean, it's how do we help build leaders? If we are not the greatest leaders on the face of the earth, then we go out and we build ourselves in the same process. But we bring our people, our leaders with us to grow and learn and develop so we can be the best we can. That's what we're about, building leaders. Focus on building leaders, not quote-unquote important activities, staying busy. We must build a plan to find and build leaders, three-step process. What does a leader look like? It's a lot easier to find them if you know what they're looking for. Leaders get the most out of his or her distributors. They never complain to downline distributors, listen to this one, or upline sponsor or the company. They're not complainers. They don't allow problems to what? Control them. They have their own goals and aspirations. What's your goal? What's your aspiration? That's why we need our whys so clear. Leaders know exactly what they're going to do. They have it so defined. They have it just like I had it so defined for me. What was I going to do? What was I going to do with those millions of dollars? What was I going to do? First, I was going to get us back to our lifestyle that I had created for my family because I had once been a lawyer. So that was important to me. Then the Lord laid on my heart a foundation. So I built the foundation. Now I have two different organizations going, one in Dallas, one in the Texarkana area, of coaches, coaching people to help bring back their lives. Then he laid on my heart to build churches in Brazil. So now I'm building churches. But this is what we have. Our whys are clearly defined. What those whys in our life, long-term, short-term whys, we know where we're going. A leader has all that. Conducts local, has his own goals or aspirations. Conducts local meetings, opportunity meetings. When you, as the upline, are out of town, make sure the meeting starts on time. In other words, they're determined, they're exacting, they're professional, they come across professional. They set a strong personal example of a steady focus on the ultimate goal. And they're happy when you're gone so that they can step into leadership and so much more. But you get the idea of what kind of person this is. It's a person that may be rare to us, but are we spending time with these people or are we spending time with people who are not leaders? That's a question. And what are we doing even if they're not leaders? Can we help build them into leaders? Absolutely. Al says three definitions of leader. A leader is a professional student of the business. What does that mean? It means they go to the National Convention of Professional Network Marketers, the meetings like that. They go to conventions, they go to conferences, they're reading books all the time, they're doing, you know, coaching calls, they're stepping into how do I grow and how can I be the best I can be. Number two, does the business without your constant motivation and checking. In other words, they're always in the flow. They don't need an accountability partner every day, even though we still suggest we have them, but the idea is that they're self-motivated. They handle problems. So the problems don't filter up to you. They manage problems. That's how they are. So how do I find leaders? How do I find them? Two ways. I steal them. So you can go into other people's organizations. You can go to different places. You can find people who are leaving other network marketing companies and you steal them away, right? But the problem with that is that if you stole them away, what's going to happen? Somebody's going to eventually steal them from you. So you don't want to find somebody with that kind of characteristic in them. Because if they were stolen once, they're stolen twice. And I can look at Manatech, and I can look at some of the presidentials who have left over the hardships that Manatech went through over the when we had the Texas AG issue that happened. For some of you who haven't been around that long, the mini crisis that happened back in 2008, and we lost a few presidentials, kind of walked away from the business. And, you know, as I look at every one of those, every one of them that I know and I knew well, they'd been in two or three other network marketing companies before. They're bouncing around. And I'd never been in another network marketing. I didn't. And here's the intriguing thing to me. When I came into Manatech, it was really God's calling on my life. He led me to this company. He led me to Glyconutrients. He led me to put these in my dad's life. I never intended on doing this business, but through a lot of signs he gave me, he brought me here. And you know what? He's never asked me to leave. I've never gotten any message to tell me to leave. And, you know, that leadership is about commitment. You stay through the thick and thin. Part of being a great leader is somebody who fights through the tough times. We fight through the tough times. Because for me, and I come from a high faith perspective, I believe God's got a calling on this company. He has a calling on Sam Castor. I believe all of that. So you know what? So to me, it's staying with the course through the ups and downs and the ins and outs and all the things that transpire. And until I hear from him, I'm in, right? I'm not chasing. So it's, you know, because if you jump from one to another, you're just going to jump. And you know, a lot of those people, I'll share with you, I know some of those presidentials, and some of them have been in five different network marketing companies, five different ones since they left Manatech. Isn't that crazy? I couldn't fathom, because there's something that said there's this concept of loyalty. And then there's a concept of, are you totally all committed to the products that we have? Manatech has the best products. By the way, over and over again, every time we're at this convention over the weekend, when I talk to other people and they would ask me, well, what company are you with? I said, I'm with Manatech. And they go, they have the best products. They have the best products. And I'm talking about these top people like Jackie Omer and Donna Johnson, these people that are top across the industry. They know all the industry because they're top leaders, and they always have the same comment. They have the best products. Isn't that great? I could just sit there and smile. That was so honoring to me that everybody knows Manatech has the best products. So, wow. I mean, maybe I got a little prideful about that, but, you know, sorry, Lord, I didn't mean to be prideful, but that was really something that made me smile. It made me happy about making a terrific choice of the company and the integrity with whom I'm attaching myself and my name, right? Okay, so we see all these things so we don't want to steal them. We don't want to chase other people from other network marketing companies because they come and they go. When they come, they're going to go. So what's another way we can find leaders? We can help grow leaders. You have security with leaders whom you personally build. So that means we build on ourselves, we can bring along. And that doesn't mean, some of you are looking at yourself in the mirror right now going, but Mary Jo, what if I'm not a great leader right now? It doesn't mean you can't grow a leader. It just means you work on growing yourself at the same time. But you got to put time and energy into growing you because you want to be a great, great leader. It's very hard to become terrific in this industry without growing yourself into being a great leader. Because you're going to attract people, you're going to stay busy, 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 and you might climb all the way up to presidential, but you're going to lose it all because you never develop the leadership skills necessary to grow people. And that's what you want to work on. So, and a lot of us, how many of us try so hard with people and somehow they don't pan out? Here's another test. This is a great test. It's because it's a test on what we talked about earlier. Don't trust people in what they say, but what they do, right? What are people doing? You know, people can say a lot of things. People can say, I'm committing to be national director by manifest, or I'm committing to be executive director by manifest. But what are they doing to get there? What are their actions? I don't trust words. Words are cheap. I mean, I might trust words out of some people. I trust words out of myself. I trust words out of people that words are commitments and understand the word commitment. In a huge that starts with a capital C. But most people don't get commitment today. That's why they're always 10 minutes late to every meeting. That's why they don't show up even though they told they were going to, and then they call you or you call them a day later and they say, oh, I'm sorry, something came up. But they didn't even bother to, you know, I mean, it's horrible. Commitment's one of the softest areas in our society today. It's a cost we're paying as a society because of it. But be committed, right? Our commitment level. So words are cheap. Actions speak. So this is a test that Schreider, Al Schreider says, give to people. He said, when you start working with somebody right out of the box, you know, and they're brand new, you sit down with them, you work with them one-on-one, you go through their why, their activity list, you're really all in that first 24 hours, you do all that work with them, get them really focused on directional, what they're going to do, okay? And then you go, you know, a day later you might say, okay, here's a book I want you to read, right? And you give them, you said, today's Monday, can we get together on Thursday and review the book? Because there are a lot of, I can help show you the principles of the book and how they, you know, work in your business. And the person says, sure, I'll do that. Okay, great. So you give them 3 days to read the book, whatever time period you want. Not 3 weeks, but give them a time period of a short time period. Because most of the books you're going to give them, this isn't about giving them some Encyclopedia Britannica. It's about giving them one of our favorite books on our book list. And give them a few days to read it. And then Thursday comes along, you call them and you say, okay, are you ready? Let's go. Let's talk about this book. And the true test is, were they committed? If they're not ready, you hear people go, well, you know, this came up or this came up and I wasn't able to do this, and da-da-da-da-da, right? Listen, people, if they can't put enough effort into reading a book, what chance is there that they're going to put effort into filling seats in a meeting, right? You're getting a huge aha right here in the moment. In the moment. You learn right away. It's a great aha. It's immediate. It's like, and I do something simple just for coaching. Let's say you were in my organization. You said, yeah, Mary Jo, I want to start coaching with you. Great. I send a little package out to you to fill out before you get coached, and you got to return it to me before you can start coaching. You know, I've had people receive that pack, and I still don't have it back 3 months later. Wow. Do you think I've had a coaching call with them? Absolutely not. Some of them I haven't even heard from. That's okay, too. It's okay. What people do, their actions speak louder than their words. You need people who are committed. If they can't even commit to spending 2 or 3 hours going through their why and their goal setting, and I mean, even if they couldn't get their why totally solidified, they could send it back to Mary Jo going, you know, Mary Jo, I'm still working on this. Because a person who's committed is going to do that, right? So you want to make sure you're working with people who are committed. Not working with people that have no commitment, that are seat of the pants, because if they're seat of the pants, what are they going to create in their organization? Seat of the pants organization. So it's a great test. So don't invest leadership training time with distributors or don't pass the test. Distributors want big checks. but they don't invest the time and energy to learn the skills necessary to earn the big checks. And some of you, this might be a big aha for you going, wow, I think that's what's happening to me. Maybe that's some of my frustration that I'm not investing the time and energy into learning and developing the skills I need to have in order to earn those big checks. Right? So what do we teach distributors versus leaders? Are there differences? Absolutely. Distributors, which again, our leaders as well, because all what is a leader compared to a distributor? A leader is one step higher than the distributor. In other words, it's a distributor that has leadership characteristics that wants to become a leader, is committed to being all in and growing this business to be presidential or beyond, right? Right? They're committed, or even executive and beyond. They may have a goal, and they may say, hey, this is my commitment. I want to earn $4,000 a month. That's my goal. So they may not have a goal of being presidential. That's okay, but they still need to be a leader to be make $4,000 a month, right? Otherwise, they'll get there, and they'll lose it. So you don't want them to get there and lose it. So we treat everybody, but distributors are all about products, all about the company, how to be loyal, how to build rapport, icebreakers, how to network, you know, how to be positive, how to sponsor effectively, how to retail products, how to duplicate your efforts. All these are trainings that you give your distributors. But you still don't have a leader. And you know what? Distributors get busy doing all of that. But distributors also tend to fail to stop and think and plan exactly what they need to be doing next. It's one of those things about every day. You make a plan, here's my to-do list. To-do lists are for distributors. Unless your to-do list has a to-be list to it, or it has how am I going to become a greater leader? What am I doing in terms of my leadership skills, and how am I helping lead my organization? And that's a question you put on your to-do list every day. Now you've got more direction in your life. So it's not just about building a to-do list. It's about a to-be list. What am I working on myself, characteristics that I need to grow because I recognize they're lacking in my leadership, and what do I need to be doing in my downline to show more leadership, right? And here's a big difference. He says, so how do you teach them to become leaders? He says, the real difference between leaders and distributors is how they think. How they think, right? In every situation, a leader is going to be thinking differently than a distributor. And the best way for me to let you know how Big Al addressed this was he took a list, and he says, and it comes out in under number six below two. He says, unsuccessful distributors are always looking for someone else to make them successful. Right? Unsuccessful distributors are always looking for someone else to make them successful instead of themselves. They're looking, maybe my upline can make me successful. No one can make you anything. You choose into being successful or not. And then you work on you to become the person it's going to take to be successful in doing that. When I looked at all these people over the weekend up on stage, do you think they looked at somebody else to be successful? No. Sarah Robbins was even there. And you know what Sarah Robbins did? This is really cute. I didn't know this about her. And some of you know Sarah, you know, 5 years into network marketing, she started earning six figures on a monthly basis at 29 years old. And Sarah was, I mean, just a little shy, sweet kindergarten teacher. No great brain trust, no great characteristics beyond anyone that any of you have or don't have. Nothing different or unique. Just Sarah. But Sarah was coachable. And she went to a network marketing, you know, convention, and she met Donna Johnson, the number one leader in Arbon. And she said, she went up to Donna in her humble, now there are two different organizations. One's in Rodan and Fields, that's Sarah, and one's in Arbon. And she went up to Donna Johnson. She said, Donna, I have my whole team out here. Is there an opportunity? Is any chance in the world? I'm just so hungry to learn. I'm so green. Is there any opportunity that we can just come over and maybe, can you give us some leadership, some guidance and direction? Because she didn't have really an upline. She was brand new at the company, just started network marketing, so she didn't have an upline to look to. So Donna Johnson said, sure. This is a woman that's top of Arbon, and she was going to take all these this team, and she invited them over to her house, 18 of them or something, I don't know how many, but may have been 12, and help them grow. They were looking for what? They were willing to do whatever it takes because Sarah was humble and coachable, and now look at where she is today, incredible leader in this business. And she attributes a huge chunk of that growth to Donna Johnson being willing to mentor her group. And that's awesome. That's how we are. That's the profession of networking. That's what it is. It's a profession of networking. Okay, so what Al Schreiter did to help us all in terms of seeing the different thinking patterns is he described different problems. It's how we address problems in network marketing. How do we address problems as people? Distributors look at it totally different than leadership thinking. So, and I gave you a list, I attached it to the outline, and you can look at some of these, because it goes, and it goes like this. It's like, he says, what are the everyday problems? So, my sponsor doesn't help me, my sponsor lives too far away, the price of the products is high, the cost of doing the business, the company has issues, any kind of problem, missing a product. Oh, one of my distributors got it, or one of my customers got her box in today, and she's missing a product. You hear this, right? Problem. Here's the first question. Are problems ever going to stop happening? No. Is there a perfect network marketing company? No. In fact, when you heard Donna Johnson talk about Arbonne, it was hilarious. Here Donna is the top, she has 85% of all distributors underneath her, and she's teaching and coaching, and she's building incredible integrity with her people. She just has this incredible, beautiful heart on how she approaches people, and she has her monthly call with her top people, and it's just an incredible process that she does. And all of a sudden, Arbonne sold out a few years back, like 5-6 years back. They sold out, and they had these new guys, and these guys came in, and they were like the quick and fast network marketing types. And they didn't like the way Donna was teaching because it didn't fit with their new, quote-unquote, system. So they came to Donna and they said, we're going to terminate you if you just keep teaching that. So you know what Donna did? She just went into prayer and she went into, you know what? I'm not changing the culture in my organization. So she kind of had to wait it out. But a year later, they went through bankruptcy. And they brought in a whole new team and back up and running again. But, I mean, so can companies have problems? When I heard that story from Donna Johnson, I said, wow, did that speak big to me? I mean, it was just really spoke high to me. And it's like, you know what? I'm not changing the culture. We have culture in this business, and we're not changing the culture, right? So we are who we are, and problems are going to happen. It doesn't. Every time there's a problem, whatever that is, we don't run. We just go, you know what? I have, and for me, it's faith, and I just stay the course. I have a culture. I'm keeping my culture. I'm continuing to love on my people and share with them and build them as leaders. So, but people run over things like that. But that's a distributor thinking. It's not leadership thinking. So look at the chart I gave you because it's really pretty amazing. I mean, I shared with you a lot of language out of his book. But he talked about my sponsor doesn't help me. So a distributor thinking goes like this: I can't become a good leader because I can't, because my sponsor never comes and helps me. They never do anything for me. They've dropped out. They only order products. They never call me. They all the blame lies with my low life, lazy, good for nothing, bonus collecting sponsor. Right? That's distributor thinking. What's leadership thinking? Leadership thinking is, I look around, I say, these other people have made it, so why can't I make it? I can grow myself as a leader. I don't need a great sponsor. I can go upline to upline to upline. I can go farther upline if I need to. I can do crossline. I can find somebody else in Manatech. I mean, look at what Sarah Robbins did with Donna Johnson. I mean, you can even do crossline and you can get help on how to make this business work. There are a lot of mentors out there that'll work with you. Amazingly, and there are plenty of them. You can pay for different programs. I have a program that I'm doing now starting in May with Todd Falcone. Todd Falcone's not in Manatech, but I saw something he offered that I knew could help me. So I said, wow, I want to build that. I want to build a terrific accountability system. And so I'm doing Todd Falcone's program with him starting in May. We can learn from other people that are in other industries how to be the best leader we can be. But leadership thinking isn't wah, wah, wah. My upline sponsor quit Manatech. I mean, she kept collecting the checks, but 2 years after I started, she was long gone. So did that stop Mary Jo? No, but it's a difference between distributor thinking and leadership thinking. Same thing, my sponsor lives too far away. So what does the distributor think? Oh, I can't become successful because my sponsor's too far away to help me. Well, what does the leadership thinking say? Wow, so what if my sponsor lives far away? This just exemplifies the concept that I can build my business anywhere in the world and be successful. Because if we can support people anywhere in the world, why can't, you know, what a blessing it is to be able to see this worldwide business. See the difference in the thought processes here. Just compare those and have fun with that. But it's all, and here's another thing he brought up in the book. He said, you know, every time somebody says to you and brings up the idea of wah, 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 wah. See, problems always exist. The difference between a leader and a distributor is distributor always brings the problems up. Wah, 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 wah. The problem becomes the key thing, the driving force, the big idea, it's the item of the moment. Wah, wah, wah. And you as an upline leader can look at this distributor and go, they're just really a distributor because they still haven't understood how to manage a problem. Leaders manage problems. There's not a problem you can bring to me on the face of the earth that I can't manage. Not a one. Because no problem is going to trump my business. No problem is going to rob me of joy. No problem is going to shake my consciousness. No problem is, it's not going to happen that way. And that's what leadership is about. We can either let problems control us on a daily, monthly, weekly basis, or we do what? And now some of you can relate to this because you can look around, maybe you can look in a mirror and say, wow, I've been allowing these problems to rob my joy. I've been allowing these problems to rob my confidence. I've been giving so much power to problems that it's ridiculous. Manage them. And when you manage a problem, you can feel success in your life because you don't always solve it, but you've managed it. It's not impacting you. It's not robbing you of joy, of belief, of consistency, of your behavior. It's not, which all of which is robbing you of what? The success you're going to have in this business. So why are we so easily forfeiting that? Because we don't see it? We're thinking distributor thinking when we don't even recognize it. I think that happens a lot. We don't see the reality of how it's robbing us, but this is great. And then when a distributor comes up and starts creating drama, by the way, there was a great comment made at this convention. It's called, you ready? Drama kills checks. DKC. Put that down. Drama kills checks. I hate drama. I keep it out of my life. In fact, I have a situation where I have a family member that's drama queen. And you know what? I don't spend a lot of time. I love her, but you know what? I can't be around her because drama kills me. It robs me. I'm not going to be around drama. It's not part of my life. I'm a no drama person. So I stay away from drama people because they drain you and they're going to rob your checks. And some of you need to look at yourself and say, maybe I'm getting too involved in drama. Yeah. And people get involved in drama. Why? Because they don't want to be effective, I think. I think it gives them an excuse. Why not? Why things don't work out in life. It's going victim to... But there are a lot of reasons why people get involved in the drama. A lot of them do it because that's all they know how to do, and they don't even recognize it. But here's a great thing. When a distributor who's creating drama over a problem or a perceived problem calls you with all this drama, right? Blah, 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 blah. And you go, what does that have to do with locating and developing your 3 to 4 good leaders? Just ask them that question. I put it at the bottom of the page on the attachment. I think it's a great question. So... teach all your new distributors to do what? To have the power in their own minds to make decisions, be in the group, decides the problem. Is you want to be, ask them if they're in the group. Are you in the group that decides the problem's bigger than your dream, or are you in the group that decides your dreams are bigger than the problem? That's really what you want to ask. That's exactly what you want to ask. And leaders, you know, they get physically exhausted after a marathon telephone conversation with professional victims complaining that the world is against them. And that's, again, you get all this drama stuff and you're so worried about, oh, how can I do this without, you know, how am I going to do this business if this happens or what happens, right? And if you just look at, here's another thing he said in the book, which I think was so helpful, and I'll just give me a little bit longer time. I know I'm running over. But these are really important principles for us. How many hours do you think the average networking leader spends doing the following tasks? Listening to downline personal problems, listening to downline business problems, making numerous phone calls to the home office following up lost shipments or product shortages, apologizing for incorrect statements made by the upline leaders or home office, playing referee between jealous distributors fighting over a single enrollment, berating home office staff who don't understand network marketing, keeping track of all the telephone calls that weren't returned properly, worrying about greed destroying certain members of their organization, groaning about unfair treatment and lack of recognition, trying to recover business that was stolen by unfair competition, discussing the company's lack of leadership and responsiveness with other disgruntled sales leaders. If you add up the hours, it's a 40-hour week. These activities take time. How much time can a leader afford on these non-productive, non-revenue-generating activities? Leaders are physically exhausted after these kind of conversations with professional victims, complaining somehow, some way, the world's against them. The leaders who listen to all this are the ones that have the problem because they have the wrong viewpoint. Unsuccessful leaders believe in order to be successful in network marketing, they need 100% of the home office employees to be perfect. 100% of distributors must be honorable, charitable, problem-free, citizens without a hint of greed. 100% of distributors must never quit. 100% of the phone calls must be answered the way they want them. 100%, 100%. You get this? Doesn't happen. The world's not perfect. So why are we putting so much time and energy into things that are so unproductive? What's the answer to that? You go like this. What does that have to do with locating and developing your 3 to 4 good leaders? If it doesn't have anything to do with it, next, next. And last thing on the agenda out of the book was self-image. Everyone has one. It's not easier for us to look at our self-image and what it is doing to our lives. Our self-image will always keep us from becoming more successful than we see ourselves. So you look at these kind of things. You're going to go, let's say you're right now you're looking at yourself and you're making $1,000. So you have of yourself, I'm $1,000. That's my image, your image of yourself. And it's amazing how the image of yourself will control what you create in life. And how do we know that's absolutely bloody true? Because every time people win the lottery, if you look at the people that have won the lottery, the statistic is something like 90-some% of them. They are making $40,000. They win the lottery. They're worth $200 million. Within 5 years, where are they? They've blown through the $200 million, and they're back to making $40,000. Water settles at its own level, right? So what you need to do is you need to change your self-image. You need to shift your self-image. And what happens to you in networking when you sign up a brand new person, if their self-image is what? What if they view themselves like they're a loser? What if you hear language like this? Here's classic language that you want to have your ears open to. Oh, that always happens to me. Oh, I never win at those things. Nobody will ever want to do that. I'm sure I can't do that. Only other people can be that fortunate. Nobody loves me. It's too hard. I can't be successful because it is impossible to get ahead because no one will want to join me because all of these are statements coming from distributors' minds that are being controlled by their self-image. They see themselves as unsuccessful. They see themselves as victims. They see themselves as having continuous problems and limitations in their life. Some people define themselves and define their lives as victims of problems. If you take their problems away, they won't know who they are. So ask yourself, how do I see myself? Am I a victim of problems? Or am I a master of my own destiny? Is my success dependent on other people, outside decisions by others, the weather, the compensation plan, the newsletter, right? it's really crucial that we understand that languaging reflects our vision and our self-image. So listen, be, you know, and you don't go, oh, that's not really true. Oh, you know, we try to be so sweet and nice sometimes when the reality is when we hear people using that kind of language, we need to sit back and say, do you get what you're doing? Words are so powerful. And if you're dealing with somebody in faith, with faith, I mean, scripture deals with words like 80% of the scripture, 90% of scripture is dealt with just words that come out of our mouth. And there are plenty of passages about words we speak are so powerful. And so we need to open their eyes and say, do you get where this is coming from? This is self-image that you're not enough, that you're not worthy, that you're not going to be successful, that there's not all these things, that you're a victim to all that. I said, why are you choosing that? Because is it not true that we choose the words that come out of our mouth? Yeah. So unless you shift that self-image, you can work all your life on helping that person to become a distributor. But if they have that language, what's your chance? So you need to work on helping people with their self-image, otherwise, and you with yours. Otherwise, you can go to Manifest every year and stare up on stage and pray and hope that you're going to be a presidential. But if you're retaining all that languaging and all that negative self-image, then it's not going to happen. You can have a dream, but it's not going to happen because your self-image is going to stop you from ever reaching that. It's the same reason, too, one last note, that when you read stories about these people, and we saw another one, there are a number of them in network marketing, for sure, where people become multimillionaires in a network marketing company, the company goes out of business, then how do they become a multimillionaire in the next one? And some people go, well, they just brought their whole downline with them. Well, but a lot of times that never happens because 40 to 50% of those people never want to be in network marketing again after the failure of one company. They're not going to go through that emotional disruption one more time. The reality is that they have a self-image of power and financial fortitude and well-being, and they're going to recreate it because it comes from their self-image. Just like the poor person who wins the lottery ends up being the poor person. The person that's a multimillionaire, self-made, who loses everything, can pop back up and recreate it again. It's self-image. Okay, everybody, so great. Terrific book. All I do is recommend it. I think Lydia gave you a reference to where you can read it. Any questions today? Anyone last minute? I know we went late, but the book is awesome. It gave me so much insight into what I'm doing, my business, who I'm working with, who I'm not, what I'm going to look forward to in people, and how I can be a better leader in my organization as well. Anyone, any questions, Mary Jo, comments? Yeah.
Yeah. One question I had was, you know, there was a lot of, when Bo Short came on board, there was a lot of talk about us leaving the industry and we're now a social entrepreneur company. And I see that he even attended the networking professional meeting. I'm assuming it was the same one.
Bo was there and Al was there and Bob Adam and some of the GMs were there. Yep.
Okay, so is there any positioning? I mean, it's left some. I know people in my organization have said, "Well, what are we still network marketing? Are we not?"
Well, no, I think for us to that's a good question because when we go out there, a lot of people want to have the tendency to say that we're not network marketing. We're now social entrepreneurs. But the reality is, when I talk to people about it, I said, well, we've absolutely taken one of the critical aspects of networking and built it into our model. So we still have the revenue reward sharing program that you see in network marketing, right?
Yeah.
So technically, are we still members of the Network Marketing Association? Absolutely. In fact, Manatech was a sponsor of this event this weekend.
Great.
So we're still a member of that. But we have a hybrid model. I talk about it as being a hybrid model. And it has fascinated some people. And I've sent out pictures, that you get out of that Becoming a Champion book. You can send that page out to show people how this is so incredibly new and different. And here's what it does. And here's what it adds to the network marketing industry. It adds a number one top criteria being we are in it for a social cause first and foremost. And this is how we're using, the structure to end a tremendous social injustice occurring in our world today. And people like that language. Does that help? Does that language help you a little bit?
It does. Thank you. Yeah.
You bet. You bet. Because I would never, if somebody said to me, so are you saying you're no longer in network marketing? I said, no, you can't say that about Manatech, because Manatech has been in the network marketing industry for years. It's just what we've done is we've taken this part of the model of network marketing, the revenue reward sharing aspect of it, and implemented it in a structure where we have put a social cause as first and foremost in our business, and no one else has done that. Right. So
Mary Jo?
Very unique. Yes, Ann.
Yeah. Would it be correct to say, because I've done this then, I say, and we, as a very unusual move for a for-profit company, we got the okay from the board of directors to make this our global mission rather than lining the shareholders' pocket as the number one.
Well, I would watch out with the language.
Yeah, okay.
Because we didn't get approval from the board. The board is the company, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like we got approval from the board.
Mm-hmm.
The board of directors, made the decision to make this social cause our number one directive.
Right. Good.
Now, they still have a fiduciary duty to the shareholders
sure.
to produce profit, right? So
right.
they're not going to let the company become unprofitable. But they did say we are converting this model into one of social entrepreneurship. The board of directors saw the validity of we better help change this world because there's so many disastrous issues. And they thus helped convert the inherent model of pure network marketing into this social entrepreneur model. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Great.
Okay.
Because this is unusual for profit, whether it's network marketing or not.
But remember, we're still for profit.
Right. Yeah.
There's
but I'm
just saying, you know, we're a for-profit company that has as its number one cause a charitable outcome. Right?
Yeah.
Which is what really makes it unusual beyond belief. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Because most for-profit companies contribute to charity as from the bottom line.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, it's a result of the profitability of the company. If they're not profitable, the contribution doesn't get made.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Right?
Well, Manatech doesn't do that. It's part every sale of product generates a contribution to the nonprofit aspect of it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Good. Anyone else?
Thanks
Great
for clarifying.
Great questions. You bet. You bet. Yeah, don't ever distinguish us. We got the board of directors.
I'm not sure I'd ever said that. But
yeah,
I said directors.
But I mean, just be careful with that, because the board of directors is part and parcel of the company. They're one and the same. It's just a part of it. It's like saying the president's different from the company. Well, the president is the president of the company. The board is the board of the company. So they're one and the same. They're not independent. And we don't want, you know, you can still invest on a publicly traded company. You can still buy stock expecting it to be a profitable company. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Any other questions? So did everybody enjoy what you heard today? Was this insightful to you, or was I the only one that thought this book just gave me phenomenal information?
Wonderful.
It was great. Yes, thank you.
Good. I think
awesome.
I think it helps a lot of you in the field too to see, okay, where am I positioned? You know, where do I need to? You know, I can continue being a Understand everybody. There's nothing wrong with being a distributor. Distributors are marvelous. I've got tons of them in my organization. I love them. They cherish them. They're great. But if you're building out there to build a business and you really want to make it to presidential, you want to make it, it's going to take something more than a group of distributors. It's going to take you to step up and say, hey, I'm going one step further. And it could be one of the frustrations you have being a distributor that you've been frustrated why my business isn't growing. Why isn't my business going in the direction that I want it to? And the reason is because you've got a bunch of distributors. They're wonderful people. We love them. But what we need to have is we need to start developing ourselves as better leaders as well as looking for those leaders, which is why going out and just trying to sign up anybody who walks in your way, I still do it. I share with everybody. But the reality is I'm looking for the leader. I'm always in search of the person that can, you know, and here these three tests I gave you today are terrific to use to just test the water to see, do I have one or am I working with another distributor? Right? And I work with distributors as well. but I want people to have more of a reality look, and now I have better languaging to use with them. This book has given me a lot better insight and languaging to work with distributors versus leaders. All right, everybody. Love you. Have a great week, and next week we'll cover the convention, which I can only guarantee you you'll be just loving the information from that, because it was really, truly awesome, and it makes me so proud and so feel so privileged to be a part of this incredible, incredible institution of network marketing. I just think it's a delight to see what kind of people it attracts and the unbelievable great things that these people are doing in their lives today. So thanks for being on the call, and have a great week. Talk to you next week, everybody. Bye-bye.
Bye.